I've been getting a lot of questions about the next classes that we're going to have. Well, we're going to have one in San Rafael, California. That's up in Marin County. That'll be next Easter. And Easter 1992 will be in... I think we'll have a class in Poipu, Kauai. And you can start putting away your sarong if you feel like coming, and we'll see you up there. Outside of that, I don't know. Then others have asked me, any books? And yes, there's one book that will be out. I can't say when, but it's written, and we're having a conference on it Monday. And another book, that's called 40 Days in the Wilderness. And the other book will be The Revelation of St. John, and that will be the theme also of the seminar, the second seminar in Kauai in 1992. So between those two books, we'll have our hands full, but things happen fast in this. We're always developing something, and we're always pushed in a direction we don't expect. So I'd say look for anything. Consciousness that we spoke of dawns in you, you'll know about it. You won't feel alone in the world anymore. Something happens inside you, and there's no way to describe it, but you're suddenly about to burst. And yet it's a controlled feeling of exaltation. Everyone who has felt it knows what I'm speaking of. That exaltation is that at last I have found the spirit in myself, and it is now alive. You see, what we're doing right now is preparing you to go forth with the living spirit, because nothing else can heal. If everyone here would go forth with the living spirit, inside of 1 year, the world would know about it. Your influence would be felt all over the world. The interesting thing about spirit is that many people are frightened about old age. First of all, industry doesn't want them anymore. They don't have anything to do except clippings. But you see, spirit has wisely left the best for the last. Old age is when you have the time. And as you grow older, and this grows in you, you are eternal youth. And you're not old age anymore. There's something beautiful about ripening years and ripening consciousness. They go together. And then, lo, you find out you're not older at all. No, you're going to change bodies, but it's no hardship. And many people wish you could do it for them and wish they could do it for themselves. Because there is a kingdom of God here waiting patiently. That Christ born in you is going to take you into that kingdom. Christ is always a present event, a here event, a now event. And you may be surprised to discover that Christ is working in you in a way you hadn't believed. Your grief may suddenly disappear. Love may suddenly appear. It is my function as the Christ of you to always be in the will of God. Now, can you imagine the will of God doing something that is not divine? If the will of God has been given access to your consciousness, and your consciousness has opened, then you have heard the voice. You have heard the Spirit of God knocking, and you have opened the door. When Jesus sent forth his disciples, without purse or scrip, they were surprised. They didn't know what power was in them. Why, we can even tread on serpents. And just a while ago, they had been just human beings. Be a burst of new enterprise, new achievements, because there will be no boundaries to what can be achieved. Now let's go into a patient. Let's take a city with an epidemic. That's a patient. What can be done when an epidemic breaks out? One person in the group calls you, probably for himself, but he tells you there's an epidemic going on. Well, you work for that person. But when you learn that that is an epidemic, you work for the epidemic too. Now let's say it's diphtheria. You have the power to unsee that epidemic. You have the power to do it in your living room. Let's say it's malaria. Whatever it is and wherever, when it is brought to you by an individual who has been infected by it, you have the right to treat it. And you treat that epidemic just as you would treat the single patient. Is the epidemic. It's not in a place. That's for the unenlightened. It's not in a place because there is no place. There is no matter in your consciousness. Oh, they'll call it a city, a village, a town. But in your consciousness, that cannot happen in the kingdom of God. And if you're living in the kingdom of God, you will see to it that it will not happen in your kingdom. But you can't be somewhere else, back in the world again. You can't be in humanity. You've got to be spirit living in the kingdom of God and appearing on earth. Who's going to do the healing of this epidemic? Why, Christ has done millions of them. You are called upon to bear witness to the perfection of Christ while the world is bearing witness to the epidemic. How will you go about it? Will you be overcome by the momentity of the task? Or will you see it as just another running nose? What's the difference if it's an illusion on a small scale or a large scale? You don't believe it. You stand fast. Christ does the work. But you have to stand fast first. And while you're standing fast, taking no thought, realizing that this cannot happen in my kingdom, I come forth. And how does I come forth? What brings I into the picture? Your consciousness has prepared the way. I don't believe this epidemic. Christ is the life. There is no epidemic in Christ. I am the life, said Christ. That is the one eternal, infinite life of the universe. Where's the epidemic? It's in the world of illusion. But, oh, it's so real to those people. There may be people who are going to, quote, die, unquote. Well, they're living without Christ, aren't they? In the presence of God, there is liberty. You have to be the one, the enlightened one, aware of the presence of Christ, because Christ comes through your awareness into the world. Do you notice how subtle it works? Remember that stationery of mine, two worlds, two circles, and the voice coming through the two circles. Two worlds next to each other, and the voice comes through. That was given to me in 1964. That design. It was handed to me. It always symbolizes living between two worlds, the middle path, between good and evil. When Joel gave it to me, I didn't even know what it meant. Just a vague idea that some symbol says, well, yeah, I read about the middle path and stuff like that. He had no reason to give it to somebody who wouldn't treasure it. So I put it on my letterhead. And it still means then what it means now, because there's one time, and that's now. It always meant the invisible Christ comes forth, and you are the door of awareness which permits him to walk through your consciousness into the world. It's a marvelous feeling to know that you don't have to stand by helplessly and watch a world suffer. That if you have access to the Christ, you have access to the healing influence. But the healing influence doesn't only apply to the person who calls you. The healing influence is in your life. Because I would assume that you don't have access to the Christ only to heal a phone call. The life that comes through you to heal the individual phone does as much for you. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ will give thee light. Were you excluded? Was she excluded? Was he excluded? Who is excluded? It's a universal call to all men, all races. And here and there, one person hears it, and another person. And now there are more hearing it. Christ is becoming a living treasure, not someone reserved in heaven for those who are fortunate. A walking, living Christ among men, as Jesus appeared among men. I can't wait for the next challenge. We don't know what it'll be or where it will be, but we all have that challenge ahead of us. And it will come to you sooner than you think. And if you're not ready, it will come again, because you've already been touched by the Spirit. It has prepared you. But it has prepared you for something bigger than you can realize in a moment. It's prepared you not only to heal the sick. It's prepared you to raise the dead. And you will raise them every time you recognize that Christ is the nature of life. Not will be. Not tomorrow. Christ is the nature of every life now. How can there be a fire where Christ is realized? How could there be a robbery where Christ is realized? You see what you're coming to? Every iniquity in this world happens where Christ is not realized. Can you sense the scope of our power, of our responsibility, and how in failing we put ourselves in the grave? Does God dispense with someone who's doing God's work? I mean doing God's work. Father, thy will be done. I'm building houses. They house people. They house God's child. That's a noble work. I'm building good houses for good people. I'm flying an air route for an airline. I'm flying people to their destinations. I'm flying good people to their destinations to do good things. And each of us finds that we are doing something. And when we open the door to the Christ influence, it becomes something better. It doesn't lose the original aspect we gave it. It adds to it. And as we ascend in consciousness, the things that we do in the world ascend in consciousness. We find that we are lifting the world, raising the dead, awakening those who have slumbered in their ignorance of the invisible Christ. I don't blame them. We can't blame them. It's difficult to know that there's an influence in this world that's being unused. But there is a major influence being unused. We have lived a false life and have not known it. Some label it successful, some label it not. But they all pale to insignificance compared to what we are doing with the Christ of our being. I think we all have the general principle of healing and of living, that we know we must open the door to Christ in our consciousness. Perhaps you would like to know what will happen to you when you open the door. The Father who seeth in secret will reward thee openly. There is an all-intelligent I, an omniscience. And the instant one has come into Christ, that instant, registers on the Creator of the universe. And that registration on the Creator of the universe becomes the instant that you are under divine law. That means your plane doesn't fall out of the sky. It does if you're not aware of who you are. It means that you walk in an invisible cloud of love. It means that you bring this cloud of love wherever you go. It means that your heart does not stop beating until the Father has taken you into the highest level of the kingdom, where you are self-sustaining forever. Are you aware that you can be self-sustaining forever? That's the nature of God in man. The things you must do will not stretch out in time. They will occur in the now because that's where they have already occurred. If you think the things you have done are wonderful, you will be surprised to find that the things you have done in the invisible are more so. You will add an infinite dimension, which is no dimension at all, to everything that you have thought yourself possible to do. You will find that there is no sickness on earth that can reach you. Why is that so? Because the healing influence is always with you. Christ is there. And you say, how will I know? I, Christ, speak. I speak to my son. Literally, speak. And when you hear that word and you obey, there's nothing in this world that can stand in the way of the living Word of God. Absolutely nothing. You find that without any form of ostentation or boasting or desire for personal glory, the power of God to bring you through the crowd, through the wall, through the non-existent metal, will do whatever is necessary at the moment. It will shuffle all the papers to make new figures. It will make the computer say whatever it wants to say. And if you don't believe it, you will be pleasantly surprised to find that the power, the invisible power, makes an atom bomb look like a child. The invisible power can instantly reduce the atom bomb to exactly what it is, a great deal to human beings, but nothing in spirit. If you live in the earthquake area, you will find that even though the earthquake is there, it cannot come nigh thy dwelling. In short, you are protected by an invisible light. And you're aware of that protection. You won't have to move out of the 20th story floor of a skyscraper because you feel it will tumble with the earthquake. Or spirit will move you out. But whatever you do in that area, you'll be guided by spirit. And after the earthquake is gone, you will be there. If you're aware, you can take all of the fear out of the earthquake before it ever happens. You can move that earthquake out of its unreal position into nothingness. You can reverse the tides. You can quell the fire. And you say, who? Me? How? I didn't say who, you, how. You won't do it. You aren't there. You are the invisible Christ. And you're still the visible person. You haven't caught the message. The human sleep will lessen as we go forth raising the dead. I can pick out 5 or 10 who will do this. And I'm sure there are those I don't know who can do this. It isn't going to be a limited effort. It's going to be a way of life to raise the dead wherever you go. Oh, you'll sense it the minute you walk into a family. Someone there is alive. The others are not. They're sleeping. Now, the someone alive needs you just as much as the others who are sleeping to bolster the confidence of that one. You always can be a better influence to wherever you go just by being there. In truth, knowing your identity and living it out. You must live in your identity. Now, if you want to do a strange thing and join me, our meditation will be for the unborn. For those who have lived many times, but are now unborn, about to be born. The children of what will be called tomorrow. They need our help too. Before they form and crystallize into a shape, into an identity, let's reach them with our love. The Spirit of God is their name too. When they are born with a Christ influence, they bring to the world something that it has needed for a long time, and something it has not had, something we can help give it. The light of the unborn Christ is as powerful as the light of the Christ living in this world. The world will call them matter, fetuses. We will call them the Christ. Wherever they are, in a communist country, in a dictatorship, in a democracy, in a republic, these unborn children are not political. They're coming in with a fresh consciousness to complete what they have not done before. We stand in the invisible Christ of our being, which is infinite, which means we are in their presence. Let's take a quick quick review of what we will begin doing as a result of these lessons. Try to get together with yourself first. If you will, in the afternoon, sit in your room for a little while. Be still. There's a technique to taking no thought. You don't turn your mind off, but you develop the capacity to leave it open without thought. It's a very important technique. Later, you will use it often, daily, in fact. Your mind is open but awake, very alert, and it's tuned to something in yourself. And into that consciousness, there will come a thought, but it will not be a human thought, and you won't control it. It will be an impulse, perhaps, and it may take 3 minutes before it happens, or 5 or 20 seconds. That impulse will be saying something that is shaping itself inside your consciousness. But I'll tell you what it will not be. It will not be a desire to go out and get something. It will not be a desire to hurt someone. It will not be any thought of this world. It will be something that you can't describe that is just right for you. And you will sit there and you will say, "What is this thing I feel in me?" And you'll make a note of it. And then you'll stay there a little longer. And finally, out of it, you will open your eyes. And you'll go about the world business. But now there's something in you will direct you. It will keep you on a certain path, a certain level, a certain course until you have been drawn into a relationship, an activity, a job, whatever is needed at the moment. It will take you a step beyond with a spiritual impulse to guide you. And you say to yourself, "Well, I didn't know I could do this so simply. I didn't know this could be done. I called the airline and I didn't plan to do it today. I was going to do it next week. But they told me that I was lucky. I got the last ticket." Or something of that nature. "I called the hotel. Yes, they could get me a room with an outside view or a room by the water or whatnot. Or perhaps I called the hotel and they told me there's no room. And I called another one, but there was." They will do something within you that is necessary in your living. And you'll develop the habit of every day going to your within for this impulse. It will vary, will never quite duplicate itself. It may surprise you one day and speak to you. But you'll learn that your impulse comes from God. And as you follow it, you're doing the will of God. Again, through your awareness, Christ brings the will of God. Do you see how a world with Christ bringing into it the will of God is a better world? Now, everybody won't do that in the world. So you'll say, "Well, what if I get it and no one else gets it?" But you'll find out that as you get it, you'll be guided, and your day will feel blessed, inspired, a certain way. And your day will impress other worlds, other lives. And that way, you'll get an impetus starting. You'll find it is always in the kingdom of God that it begins, and when it ends in you, if you can continue it by enacting it, that is how you begin to do God's will. It may be a slight thing, unimportant to others, but it will be important in your life that God notices your ability to follow the commands. Don't take it so literally that you go out and follow a yellow taxi cab because it tells you to look for the color yellow. Listen for the spiritual impulse. There are many people misled by the spiritual impulse. They got a psychic impulse. They went out and did it. They ended up on the wrong side of the tracks. You learn to hear your master's voice, and it's not easy at first. But even if a dog can hear 500 people and tell its master's voice, you certainly can tell your master's voice. It comes very subtly, and that is the most important voice you will hear. Whatever you do then will be ordained and blessed.